You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past. I'm your host, Matt Pappas, certified life transition and recovery coach. And this podcast is all about helping you move forward from what holds you back. Each week, you'll hear from coaches, clinicians, and advocates who've overcome tremendous odds and are now using their journey to inspire you throughout yours. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mental Health Megacast, episode number 7, with Wes from Audio Rising, Mike from Mike's Open Journal, and myself. And we are three guys who get together about every 4 to 6 weeks, and we talk about mental health, advocacy, survivors, and just pretty much bringing awareness to everyday important topics from a guy's point of view. And in this episode, we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about the triggers surrounding it as survivors and those recovering from addiction. We talk about what our thoughts are on Halloween, how we view it. We talk about how it affects our mental health, what we need to be careful for, what we need to watch out for, the importance of self-care and how each of us do self-care. We also talk about the commercialism of Halloween and the movies and the media and social media and how that can affect us as survivors and mental health advocates as well. And then we finish up by giving you some insight on what's going on with our individual podcasts and what's going on in our lives and what's coming up in the next episode of the Megacast, which will be airing in early December of this year yet. So without further delay, let's jump right into the conversation with Wes, Mike, and myself concerning Halloween here on the Mental Health Megacast. And here we go. We are now officially starting the episode whatever of the Mental Health Megacast. I don't know what episode we're on, but I think it's number 7.
I say it's 7 too, so we'll just go with that.
Okay.
Cool. All right, leader, start us again.
Okay, so what we were you're talking to me?
Yeah.
we were talking before we got started about what Halloween means to us, whether there's triggers or memories or good things or bad things that we associate with Halloween. And Mike was talking about what it's like on his side of the pond. And you had just gotten back from Amsterdam, I think you said.
Yeah, so it's like I said, it was really interesting because it was kind of like going back in time for me. Like I've seen Halloween as a holiday grow over here from something that's not really celebrated at all into kind of a fully fledged holiday. And going over to Amsterdam where it's very much like it was here maybe 10 or 15 years ago, where it's a case of, yeah, a couple of pumpkins here and there, but it's generally just the shops trying to push it. It's not something that they really seem to kind of have or invest in. And then to kind of come back on the weekend of Halloween, and everyone to be like, oh, here's like me dressed up, I'm going to a party, here's all the pumpkin decorations and stuff. And oh, it's just like a bit of a culture shock in a couple of days to see, yeah, how much it's grown over here. Because I don't know a lot about like the history of the holiday, but my understanding is it's very much, it is an American holiday that has just gradually come across here for essentially commercial reasons.
Wow. Okay. And see, I was unaware of any of that. I didn't. That's why it makes this so interesting to me. And I don't, you know, I don't have a background in the history as far as, you know, where. I guess, you know, like pagan rituals and stuff like that. But I guess it does kind of come from the States as far as commercializing it. Gee, imagine that. Oh my gosh.
I'm surprised it doesn't have an official sponsor.
I know, right? Halloween brought to you by, you know, four people.
Brought to you by commercialism.
Yes.
Exactly.
Sponsored by McDonald's.
Yes. Halloween sponsored by Taco Bell.
Yeah. No, it's got to be a brand that we've got over here as well. You can't have Taco
Bell. Oh, yeah.
You mean you guys don't have Taco Bell over there?
I don't think so.
Oh man, you're missing out on such amazingly subpar tacos.
I don't know if it's some. Oh, now I'm feeling like it does. I think it does. I take it back. I think it does, but I think it's very, very. It's a very small brand over here. It's not really well known. I feel like I maybe have been to one now. So yeah, I feel bad. It wasn't don't amazing. But yeah, it's not a big brand. It's not it's not something like a McDonald's or a Burger King or anything like that. It's not on that same level over here.
He does have Burger King, though. We found that out.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. We've seen pictures of his lunch many, many times on Instagram.
Yeah, it's true.
And occasionally dinner.
Oh, your door dinner, yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, if I did that, I'd blow up like a balloon.
Oh, I've had so much in the last week. It's ridiculous.
So no trick-or-treaters over there, huh? You're not sitting there?
For like families, yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen this year because it's obviously on the Tuesday. So I would imagine there was probably some yesterday on Saturday and there'll probably be some maybe on Tuesday as well, I guess. Sometimes it'll double up. Mind you saying that, I didn't see any this Saturday. So whether it'll happen next weekend,
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah, if you've got families, it can be a big thing, but you're not getting people go very far. It's generally sort of the road or the street that they live in and people that like their families know. So it's not in my mind, it's not the big thing that it is in America where you'll go out and you'll go around a much bigger area.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, over here... I guess all the big parties and stuff like that were last night for the most part because the work week and stuff like that. And then Tuesday night will be all about the kids. You know, I mean, like my granddaughters, their entire week centers around Halloween, both, you know, at school and at home. And that's just the big thing, you know. It's like Easter over here, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think it's, I guess it's kind of like Valentine's Day, and it doesn't really serve a particular purpose other than sort of the commercial reasons to drive it. Like Valentine's Day, obviously being like a couple's day, but then Halloween almost has been made into like either family time, or I think a lot for young people if they're going along to like parties, it's been made into a big thing for that. But right. Other than that reason, I don't know. Again, it could be a lack of knowledge of other reasons, but I just, there's not a particular reason for it. It's not New Year, it's not Christmas, it's not a birthday or anything like that. So it does seem just driven by that idea of, oh, it's a theme or a topic that can be pushed commercially, and that's where the growth comes from.
And was it like that when you were a kid too? Was it pretty much non-existent?
I don't ever remember it being a big thing. I think we used to do like trick or treating, but we'd only go to maybe 5 or 10 max houses. So you're just going to basically the houses that your parents know.
Which is always a good idea.
Yeah, that was it. We never really went anywhere in particular. I don't remember it ever being a big thing in shops. Or stores. Not until recently do I really think it's been a big thing. I think it's been a gradual growth over here, which I guess is we see similar things, like, although Black Friday hasn't been huge, I think last year, like each year that seems to have grown with the deals that are offered, and that idea that this American style holidays, oh, there's lots of money that can be made off that, let's push that over to the UK where there can be a big retail market.
Well, if Black Friday is not big over there, I'm just going to move over there. I hate Black Friday.
Oh, the images. I think it was 2 years ago. There was stuff all over the news where people were running into stores and pushing people over, and websites crashing, and it's hilarious. Like, yeah, there are some good deals, and I think that's why it's died off this year, because the offers haven't been as good. I don't know if that's because of like the recession or like issues we've got around like leaving the EU make financially a lot of the things that we get offered aren't as good a deals, which potentially has had an impact. But yeah, it's definitely not, definitely dropped down from a couple of years ago.
Well, and then the internet's got a lot to do with it too, as far as driving it globally, I think, you know, or regionally, however you want to put it, because of, you know, everybody's got their deals. Get your order placed before such and such a time, and, you know, and so it's like a virtual Black Friday without actually having to leave the house.
Yeah, and I think everything's smaller and closer now. Like, because it happens in America, like, if it happens over there, well, we'll see it and hear about it online. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, we would have had to have waited for that to be reported on TV or the radio. So maybe sort of that turnaround in kind of information just makes us more involved in everything, whether it's part of our culture or not.
Right, exactly. Well, what about you, Matt? What does Halloween say to you?
Well, I mean, over here, it is largely commercialized. I mean, every August, there are these little temporary stores that pop up called Halloween Spirit. And they'll take an old vacant department store or grocery store building that there's nobody in it, and they'll rent it for 2-3 months, and they will bring in everything Halloween that you can possibly imagine, and they stay open through, like, the middle of October. The middle of November. And they just have Halloween stuff out the yin yang of everything imaginable. And so it is all commercialized big time. I mean, obviously there are a group of people who take it to a whole nother level, which is a whole nother topic. But mostly for most of us, it's, you know, it's an excuse for the younger crowd to go party. And then it's a good time for families to get together and go out and get candy. A lot of malls will do trick-or-treating because it's a safe place. A lot of churches will do it. Community centers, fire halls and stuff will make a place for kids and families to come get candy and food that they know is safe, because there's all the, you know, you're worried about all the idiots out there and everything. So it is all about, you know, the actual Halloween day is all about the families going out and getting candy. And then the weekend before, it's all about the adults going out and partying. So.
Right.
It's really just an excuse to get dressed up and go, you know, go have fun somewhere, go drink yourself into oblivion, go eat yourself silly, you know, whatever you want. So, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we would walk around the neighborhood and I would come home with like a gigantic, like, grocery bag full of candy and popcorn balls and apples and oranges and all kinds of crap. And like, it would take you like a month to eat this candy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, but nowadays it seems to be, I mean, kids still like to go, but it doesn't seem to be near quite as big. You know, people are staying in their own neighborhoods, or they'll go to like a affluent neighborhood where they know they'll get the good candy. So, you know, instead of getting like a bag full of dum-dum lollipops, they'll get like Snickers and Twix at you know, the lower, you know, depending on what area you go in. So you'll see a lot of families drive around and dropping their kids off for an hour while they walk around a neighborhood that's, you know, maybe a bit more upscale or something. So it's kind of interesting. But, I mean, overall for me, you know, all my kids are older, so they don't go trick-or-treating anymore. But they enjoy staying home and handing out candy. And, I mean, I will sometimes do it. Sometimes I won't. It's really just, I don't do a whole lot with it. I mean, obviously, it's a holiday where, you know, I'm not getting off work or anything. It's kind of like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not really something that you necessarily, quote unquote, celebrate, other than if you're going trick-or-treating or to a party, you know. So, I don't know. To me, it's really all about being commercialized, unless you're in that group of people who take it to another level in the religious realm and all that stuff, which is a whole other topic, as I said. But overall, it's really just, I don't really, Halloween doesn't just do much for me anymore, to be honest with you. It just really doesn't. I mean, it's cool, it's fun. The kids dress up, you give them candy, you do, you know, whatever. I mean, but it's not really something that I would really say I really get into a whole lot, where I decorate my house and everything. I think partly because I'm not quite into it that much, and two, I just don't have time to do that.
Right. That's you kind of made time when the kids were little, and then after that, it's like, you know, we're done. Now, Nancy and I, we go out on the patio, because we've had neighbors in the past when we live in this neighborhood that have gone as far as They used to barbecue, you know, in the driveway out front, and people that come by, you know, they give out the candy, but they've got a hot dog and a hamburger and a bottle of water for mom and dad, you know, kind of thing. And,
Oh, nice.
I mean, it was really kind of cool, but it's, but a lot of those people have moved out now, and we just sit out there with a bowl of candy between us, and, you know, because the dogs will freak if the doorbell rings, and, you know. So we just sit out there and hand out candy. And I told Nancy, I said, we're getting old, but we're not old enough yet to be the old creepy couple that hands out pennies. Or I guess these days with inflation and everything else, you'd have to give them like a dollar, you know. But there was always the creepy, in our neighborhood, there was always the creepy person at the end of the street that always gave out pennies. And you're like, seriously, you know. I could have got a bite-sized Snickers and I get a penny. And even when I was a kid, you couldn't buy squat with a penny. So, you know.
Yeah. And especially now, you really can't. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's not, if we haven't scheduled something to do with the grandkids, then yeah. I mean, like you say, Matt, you know, my kids are grown and probably the ones sitting around going, hey, let's build a bonfire and go through a 12-pack in 15 minutes, which I've done that plenty of times. That was fun, you know, but there's not that much to it, you know.
Do you guys have, like, the big haunted houses and stuff that go up there where you are? Like around here, we have some really, like nationally known attractions, like Field of Screams and Whoa. Jason's Woods and the Haunted Mill where... And that's actually another big part of it, too, is, you know, is going to these, like, haunted attractions where, you know, you pay a fee, which is beginning more and more exorbitant. But you go, and it's like a little mini amusement park that runs for about, you know, a month or two. And you go, and you basically pay to get the hell scared out of you.
Right, exactly. And then there's a lot of places, like, we have the Halloween Spirit stores out here, and then you'll have some that... It's like called 13th Floor or something, where they rent an old grocery store building or something like that, and they'll set up. They get volunteers together that are, I mean, artistic as hell, you know, and they put together these just crazy haunted houses and things like that. We even had one in the neighborhood, you know. Sometimes there'll be two or three haunted houses in our neck of the woods that make it on the news every year, kind of a thing. Nothing really in our neighborhood. We used to have a guy that set up a pirate ship in his backyard. His entire backyard was this huge pirate ship, and I guess the HOA made him take it down or something. He sold it all, and, you know. But not a whole lot. I mean, you know, it's a big party time. It's like the 4th of July, really, you know, where everybody's got. And the funny thing is, this is what kills me. In our neighborhood, when we're out walking around, I'll say to my wife, look at this. More and more houses every year are putting up orange Christmas lights, is what I call them.
Yep,
and it's you're probably seeing it, too, where your entire yard is decorated for Halloween just exactly the way you would do it for Christmas. You know, it's craziness. And, you know, some of it's cute and it's nice for the kids and stuff like that. But, you know, I can take it or leave it. Now, when I was a kid, I, you know, obviously not knowing what it was at the time, but having anxiety issues, I didn't want to go anywhere where I got the hell scared out of me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. That's why I'm useless at places like Disneyland. You know, I'm not getting on these rides, you know. But,
Right, and I think, you know, when you go down that whole mental health idea about all this and the anxiety of it all, I mean, that's real for a whole lot of people. I mean, especially people who, you know, lived in a household that wasn't healthy. Maybe there was abuse. Maybe there were people who treated them badly. I mean, you know, maybe they had siblings who were constantly scaring them or terrorizing them. I mean, you know, things like, you know, the haunted houses and the haunted attractions and stuff. And, you know, like you said, Wes, even like the stuff in people's yards, you know, with a giant skeleton or, you know, the Grim Reaper or, you know, the crazy ass clown or something. I mean, that stuff can freak the hell out of people. And for people with anxiety and some trauma survivors, I mean, it's really no joke. I mean, it can be very terrifying and, you know, a huge anxiety, you know, rush, so to speak, when you get in a situation where people are intentionally trying to scare the hell out of you.
Right. And a lot of that is you know, your adrenaline junkies, for example, that, you know, that just love that kind of stuff and the thrill of it and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? My adrenaline gland is off in Never Never Land anyway. It's going off at weird times. I don't need any more. I don't need any more heart pounding stuff than what I already have. Just the drive to work is terrifying enough sometimes. So I don't. I don't need to set aside special days to have the crap scared out of me.
I think we've had this year. There's been a growth of more of the, not necessarily like the haunted houses, but the kind of like zombie escape rooms and stuff like that has really come up a lot in the last, I'd say just kind of since the summer, so the last sort of month, 2 months. There's been a lot of those type of experience activities popping up that I think are up or have been up for like the last month or two, maybe up for a little bit longer as well. So that's come up a little bit this year, which I've noticed a lot more, which is maybe as close as we can get to some of the stuff that you guys have. I know previously there's a few places near me that do the, I think they're like ghost walks or something like that, where they go around some of the old historic buildings and things like that, which aren't necessarily ghost experiences or anything like that. I think it's just meant to be, I don't know, I think it's more of a history type thing. I'm not too sure. But on the mental health side, I think definitely this year I've been made aware of or noticed a lot more, more of the, not necessarily the anxiety side, but more like the self-harm side, that's brought up through like Halloween costumes and the comments that get made and things like that. So I don't know, like if we're talking about the mental health side of Halloween, I think that's a really interesting topic as well, alongside the anxiety of those experiences or activities that are going on. I think the exposure to some, and some outfits are pretty awesome, but the inclusion of things like scars and markings and cuts can be really damaging and triggering for some people, and I think it's important to kind of recognize that and work out, like, is there a reason, or is there somehow that could be done differently, or I don't know, I just think it's something I've never really thought of up until this year.
Well, no, yeah, and I think it's really true, because you're right. I mean, how many you know, movies nowadays are horror movies, or, you know, kind of slasher movies, as I call them, where, you know, people are dressing up in characters from some of these movies. And you're right. You know, it's one thing to go out and dress up like, you know, Superman or Spider-Man or, you know, Wonder Woman or whoever, and everybody loves it, and it's cute and it's cool and all that stuff. But, you know, for a lot of people who, you know, struggle with self-harm or, you know, things like that, I mean, when you see a costume or you see people with you know, makeup and body paint, you know, depicting scars and big gashes and cuts and stuff, I mean, that can be definitely triggering for a whole lot of people who struggle with it. So you're right. It's, yeah, it's something that I don't think you'd always really think about.
No, and some of the outfits and the makeup and stuff are absolutely amazing. Like when you look at them and you think, oh, it is a piece of art. Like they have gone to so much work and there's so much talent that's gone into essentially designing that piece. But at the same time, it can be really triggering for people.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's really. Sorry, Wes. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Keep going.
I was going to say, I think where it really comes down to is, you know, really just being aware of, you know, kind of taking care of yourself, you know, during this time of year, you know, just like you have to take care of yourself during like Thanksgiving or Christmas, because, you know, those holidays are triggering for different reasons. But around this area, or excuse me, around like, you know, the time of year of Halloween and stuff, you know, you'd have to be really careful to, you know, understand what triggers you and why it triggers you. And, you know, if you're able to maybe not put yourself in a situation where you're going to be around something like that, if you know that it's going to be potentially, you know, causing you a lot of anxiety, there's no shame in, you know, kind of avoiding that party or, you know, staying away from some of the more extreme events. Even if all your friends are saying, yeah, you know, let's go to the haunted house and, you know, see all this crazy shit. And then you're like, well, you know, I don't really know. But then you kind of get peer pressure to go. Mm-hmm. But man, I mean, if that stuff's trigger you, just stay away from it. And I mean, there's no shame in that. I know that.
No, that's that's true. And I think it brings up a really good point. And like Matt said, I don't know that it's something that I've really given a lot of thought to. I think it's one of those things that I don't think about until I encounter it, and then something in me goes, okay, that's over the top. Or, you know, I mean, over my top. Whatever anybody else wants to do is up to them, and that's cool. But it's interesting, though, because while you guys are discussing this, I'm thinking about like the slasher movies and stuff like that back in our day. I mean, you know, Matt and I kind of grew up in the era where Jason and Freddy were kind of the big things. And these days, I mean, I didn't even watch those movies then, because, and I didn't know why, but it was because, I mean, the easiest way to put it is it scared me. You know, I didn't want it to be scared. And now I look back on it and I go, well, you didn't want to be scared any more than you already were just getting out of bed in the morning, you know, with the issues and stuff that I had. But these days I can't even imagine the way special effects and things like that are anymore. I wouldn't last 5 minutes in a lot of these movies, especially if I was trying to watch something in a theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not gonna fly with me. But matter of fact, I watched a 2-hour documentary on the making of Halloween, the original Halloween. Mm-hmm. And after that, I went back and actually watched the first two Halloween movies. First off, because Jamie Lee Curtis was in them. So, I mean,
oh, yeah.
and who is in recovery, by the way? I just had to throw that in. But it was okay to see it. You know, I mean, it was on such a different level than it is these days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I watched Halloween the other day and I was kind of interested, but at the same time, I think I was more interested because I was watching it as if it's an older film that I wanted to watch rather than if it was something that I saw now. And I think I felt kind of a similar way about The Exorcist, like the first time I saw that. And it was very much like a, what's all the fuss about? And I think it's because you've got to bear in mind the times that those films came out, and
right,
they set a very different tone from what was acceptable or general at that time. Whereas when you see it now, a lot of the like the jump scares or the particular scenes aren't—I won't say scary, but they're not as exposed or they aren't as aggressively violent as you see in a modern film. And the reasons why I think the older films stand up more is because there is like the character development or a storyline there, and that sits behind in front of or behind like all of the shocks and horrors and stuff like that. That's why those films last and why people want to go back and see them.
It could be.
Rather than all of the more recent crappier films that will have multiple versions of the film. And just like, oh yeah, okay, cool. The first one was really good because it's something different, but I don't really need to see 7 of these films. Right. So yeah, there's a couple of those. Oh dear. I don't know. I think it's a different time. I think for me particularly, actually, I watched, I can't remember what the film was called. It was one of those ones on like a streaming service that has got a back catalogue of stuff, and it was just like some crappy, I can't remember who it was, I think it was just a horror film, it wasn't a Halloween related one, I think it was just a crappy horror film. And generally, even if stuff makes me cringe, like I can still watch it, but there were two scenes in that film that I couldn't watch because I knew like they would set me off, and I had to close my eyes and I'm like, come on. And I don't know if they were really, really graphic, but I know they started to look like they were going to be really graphic. And this is in a film it's not a mainstream film. It's not a good film. It's like, even if I could remember the name, I don't think you would recognize the name of the film. And I just think that sometimes shows like where cinema is going towards. And I don't necessarily have a huge issue with that because I know what I'm sitting down to watch when I watch that type of film. I can see the build up, and you know whether you're happy or not to watch that. I think my thing with the like the costumes and the makeup and things like that comes more into like the example of going along to the party is a good one. Like, you can choose, do I want to expose myself to that or not? But with so many people sharing what they're wearing on social media, you can very quickly be exposed to costumes and sights that you don't want to see. And then short of kind of not looking at social media at all, which, I don't know, it feels weird. Like, I really struggle with, like, Christmas and the holidays. And I will kind of bear that in mind, but I'm still going to use social media. And I'm like, so is that the same for people that struggle with these thoughts around Halloween? I don't know.
I don't know. I think for me, I mean, obviously, you know, the holidays are, you know, triggering for different reasons, but I don't know that I necessarily, that I think about it now, avoid social media. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, my personal page, you know, on Facebook, yeah, or whatever. I don't think I avoid it that much during Halloween, like consciously avoid it that much. I consciously avoid it during Christmas and stuff like that. Because of, you know, just kind of the triggering stuff that goes along with it, and, you know, the stuff that, you know, I can relate to and you guys can relate to in your past as well. But I don't think for Halloween I consciously really avoid it in terms of, you know, being triggered about a costume or a party or something. If I would avoid it, it would be more along the lines of bringing up old memories of things I used to do as a kid or maybe never got to do, or things that I can't do anymore after, you know, my marriage ended or something. So it would be more triggering for different reasons in terms of the family get-togethers and having fun, more than, probably for me at least, more than the, like, you know, the costume makeup side of it, or, you know, the horror movie side of it. Because I think, now that I think about it, I guess maybe I don't technically avoid it that much, but maybe subconsciously I do a little bit, but for very different reasons than, just, you know, avoiding seeing some kind of, you know, crazy costume or something.
I think for me, I don't seem to avoid Halloween and Thanksgiving and Easter and things like that as much as I do Christmas. But I think for me, the majority of it is like what we were talking about in the beginning, the commercialization of it. You know, I mean, on Facebook, I'm going to see 8 billion posts that have something to do with Christmas. And every year it starts earlier, you know. And I say that, and then, you know, I've been saying that for 20 years. You'd think it'd start in the summertime by now. Well, they do have Christmas in July. So I
guess they do.
Yeah. So, but I think for me, it's just the "oh gosh, here we go again" syndrome. You know, because it's just, ugh, I got 2 months that I got to put up with this kind of a thing. And but I guess I don't notice that so much when it comes to Halloween, because for me, Halloween is kind of here and gone. You know, it's not that big of a deal to me. So when it's over kind of a thing. It's funny, though, when you're talking about the way things are depicted in film, you know, like if you look at because sometimes I just get in these places where all I want to do is, like, if I'm watching something, I want to watch, like, you know, movies from the, like, you know, Turner Classic Movie Channel or something. It's got to be something interesting. I'm not going to sit there and watch a bunch of musicals from 1940. But I mean, some of the older black and whites and stuff like that that I'll get into. And violence then was depicted, you know, like, you know, guy falls down, another guy standing up here with a knife, the camera stays on the guy with the knife, and he slashes down and, you know, does it repeatedly, but you never see the body on the ground. You know, now we'd see him in 8 pieces, you know.
It just reminds me of like, then sex scenes where it's 2 people lay down, and then there's a breeze in the window, and then it's the next day.
even TV shows from 50 years ago, I sit there and I look at it and I go, you know, when I was a kid, I would have probably went, ew, he's kissing her. And now I go, that's not even a real kiss. Come on. You know, I mean, you're not literally in each other's DNA. So that's
if I don't get a warning at the start of the program about sexual scenes or violence, I'm not in.
Exactly. You know what's a good example for this for me, though, is... when I was a kid, because my mother was a lot like me, she was kind of timid. She didn't go in for the scary stuff and the, You know, like she always told me, when I was in high school, the boys you stayed away from were the guys that wore the T-shirts and had a cigarette and drank beer, you know. And I'm like, you know, nowadays it's like 22-year-olds with kids on heroin, you know. But I remember, I think it was like a very, very early 80s, a movie came out, and for whatever reason, I'm like stuck on sequels. I don't have to see them all, but I always want to know what happened to those characters after the end of that really cool movie. You know, it's just so sequels to me are a thing for whatever reason. And I saw in the paper, shows you how old I am. I saw in the newspaper.
What's a newspaper?
Yeah, exactly. Shut up, Matt. You know what I'm talking about. Don't even lie. an advertisement for a movie called Psycho 2. And oh, yeah. My mom saw, you know, that I was looking in the paper. We didn't go to movies when I was a kid because we didn't have the money, but still. And she says, oh, I remember seeing the first one. It scared me to death. Well, now this intrigued me because this is not my mother's kind of movie. And so I said to her, I go, well, what's it about? Well, you know, because now there's a sequel I've got to pay attention to, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, before the movie came out and I was going to see it, I went down and went into a video store and rented, I think I was working at the time, maybe not. Anyway, I rented the original and watched it and then went and saw the one at the theater. And for whatever reason, that my mom told me that that was like the bloodiest movie of 1960. You know, now we would look at it and go, eh, you know. The shower scene, you know, they actually used Hershey syrup instead of anything that looked like blood because the consistency was right and it's black and white. Who's going to notice, kind of a thing. But for whatever reason, that movie series intrigued me. And I watched every single sequel after that all the way to the end. And it was fascinating to me. And I think part of that was because here's a movie my mother could tolerate that's considered a horror movie when really, now that I look back on it, it's not so much a horror movie as a Hitchcock movie. Hmm. You know, it's no different than watching North by Northwest or Vertigo or Rear Window or something like that. But at the time, it was like, and I remember going and seeing the sequel and going, am I going to be able to sit through this? Because it was pretty bloody compared to the first one, quote unquote. But that's by like 1982 standards. Now you'd sit there and go, that's a wax dummy. That's not even a person, you know?
I didn't know there was a second film.
Oh, my gosh. The irony of the second film is worth seeing both of them.
I've seen the first one.
Well, you've seen the second one. It was set in present time. It was 22 years later, and the irony of the movie at the... By the end, you're going, holy crap. And yeah, it's you'll catch it if you ever get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, that's fun how you mentioned, like, you know, older and even, you know what, even like on network television today, I mean, like they are pushing the envelope or whatever you want to say a lot more than you know, stuff that we used to watch back in the 80s or even the 90s and, you know, before that, where, you know, like you mentioned, if I sit around and I watch, because like I love the Lone Ranger, right? I mean, like I grew up in the Lone Ranger. Every time somebody shoots somebody, it's like they fall over, but there's no blood. They just fall over and like, you know, their hands over their chest or something. And like, you know, somebody got shot, but you see nothing other than them falling down. And nowadays somebody's getting shot and there's like holes going through their head and everything else. So I think a lot of those older stuff too, now that we are older, we can sit back and we enjoy it just because it's, I mean, you know, like everybody loves the Lone Ranger, or at least I think they do. I mean, it's just a great thing, but you know, the amount of violence that in there was in there was maybe just a bar fight or maybe, you know, the robbers shooting out, you know, the saloon or something. And there's no real kind of sort of violence. But you know, today when you watch network TV shows and movies, it takes it to a whole nother level. And It's really just about taking care of yourself and knowing what you can handle and what you can't, keeping things in perspective if you're able to, and understand that, you know, for some people, obviously they love the adrenaline rush, they love the horror, they love the slasher things because they can go home and they just forget about it. You know, life goes on. And then for other people, you watch something like that and you're traumatized for a week. You know, you can't sleep and you have to go home and watch some some like Disney movie just to get your mind off of it so you can actually go to bed that night. So I'm always really careful. I mean, horror movies and slasher movies never really did it for me anyways. I do like suspense flicks a lot. I always have, but the other kind of stuff, I just getting the crap scared out of me really just doesn't really float my boat. It's not something I really need. So I usually tend to avoid them anyways. And obviously there's more of that coming around on Halloween and especially some of the displays nowadays, but really I really just try and take care of myself. And if there's something that I don't want to go to because either I don't want to feel those sensations or something, I just avoid it. And I'm like, you know what? Go have fun, everybody. I'll meet you later for dinner or something. And I'm okay with that. And for a lot of people, you know, sometimes they can't do that because there's a lot of peer pressure from family and friends and spouses to go out and do something as a group. And maybe it's very triggering for some people and they end up going anyway. And then they're down for the count for a week or two afterwards because they're so traumatized by what they saw or what happened, or it brings back memories of their childhood or something. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's really all just about, you know, if you can handle it and you think it's fun, you know, knock yourself out, more power to you. But for those of us that don't enjoy it or can't handle it or brings up a lot of anxiety or memories of self-harm or something, just avoid it and move on with your life. Because like you said, Wes, for Halloween, it's here and then it's gone. Right. Yeah, it just is.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, too, that – and this is going to – you know, for someone listening, this might cause you to have to look in the mirror, which is hard to do. But, you know, if you're a younger person or you have kids that are younger, I would suggest not pushing them into things that they don't want to do in situations like this, because you can cause more harm than anything else. Don't, you know, and if by chance there's someone who's a teenager that's listening to this, don't call your friend a wimp because he doesn't want to go to the haunted house with you. Okay, there could be reasons why those kinds of things happen. And I think all of us can say that we've been in places like that where we've ended up doing things we didn't want to do due to that peer pressure that Matt's brought up. And that was going through my head as soon as he said it. I'm like, yeah, that's the absolute truth. And you can be ridiculed. Even parents can ridicule children and saying, it's stupid that you don't want to do this. Or it's dumb that you don't want to do this, or stop being so sensitive, or what? Well, guess what? Maybe they're a sensitive person and you're not, you know, right. And you might just have to let them be sensitive in certain situations. And what Matt says, I believe is completely true, that if you're comfortable with it, okay, more power to you. If you're not comfortable with it, don't force yourself into situations that might be triggering, and certainly don't force anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and I can remember the one time, you know, not to really belabor the point, but when this was not even all that long ago, maybe 8-9 years ago, we went to one of the haunted attractions around here, and it wasn't so much, you know, like the scary people that were, you know, chasing after you or whatnot. For me, it was more of going through some of those attractions where it's like really tight spaces and you have to crawl and there's things dangling on top of you and people are touching your shoulder and in the complete darkness. I mean, some of these are pitch freaking black, like you can't see anything and you have to walk around and feel your way. And then all of a sudden, like you open a door and there's a strobe light in your face. And mm-hmm. So a lot of these things, obviously, it's that whole shock and awe type of stuff, but you're right. I mean, if somebody wants you to go and you don't want to, don't be afraid to just say, nah, I'm good. You know, I'll meet you later or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for everybody who wants to go, just be kind to those people who are with you, whether it's Halloween, whether it's, you know, with the upcoming holidays, whatever it is, if somebody doesn't want to do something, man, just, you know, okay, that's cool. We'll catch you later and just let it go. I mean, the peer pressure, you're right, from family and friends and siblings and whatnot and coworkers can just be off the charts. And when I went to one of those attractions, I left so unbelievably on edge, like I was shaking from the anxiety, not so much of like the crazy people, you know, chasing me with a chainsaw, although that didn't help, but it was the strobe lights and the crawling around on the floor and all this crazy shit. And I'm like, no, this is just not fun. Like, I don't like this. And I haven't gone back since.
Yeah. I'm feeling it while you're saying it, brother. Yep. Especially the small confined spaces, you know, and the strobe lights and stuff like that. I mean, that's extremely disorienting for a lot of people. Disorienting? Is that a word? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. Okay. Yeah. I like
the grammars.
I like the history lesson type stuff and the going back in time and exploring it. That Mike's got on his side of the water. I think we ought to just go over there. It'd be more fun.
Yeah, Mike, Wes and I are moving in.
You wait until a couple of years' time and they're like, let's get some haunted houses down here.
I'm like, you know what? Okay, we're leaving now. I'm done with you.
I don't think we'd be coming over there trying to increase the commercialization, though.
Not even a little.
We'd be going, whatever. If you're not into it, no big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those... It's easier to avoid, I think, at the moment. But that's changing, and I think a lot of that is to do with... the stuff that we share online. But at the same time, I think it's kind of cool in that, like, I've thought a lot more about it and being made aware of some of the triggers that other people have because of social media, because they've spoken about it a lot in the last week or so, and found out, like, a couple of people that I know really have, like, strong triggers around just, like, the sight of, like, body injuries. So it doesn't necessarily have to be like cuts or things like that, but just seeing like an open wound, like seeing blood. And it's all kind of, I guess it's those conversation pieces that we realistically, how often is the opportunity going to come up for that? So actually just knowing a little bit more about someone and maybe being a little bit more conscious of like, oh, when I'm talking to that person, like making sure that I'm not like overtly talking about like injuries or things like that, are kind of cool to have learned about someone. And I think that opportunity sometimes is really valuable. So there is a positive side to it as well, I think, is what I'm trying to go for.
Well, and I think that's good, because it's what you're talking about, Mike, is about raising awareness, which is what we're always all about anyway. And I think it's cool to be exposed to those kinds of things and what people are saying and feeling, for the simple fact that it does make you a more sensitive person. It does make you more thoughtful. And it always reminds me that a lot of the things that don't trigger me could easily trigger someone else, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Because there are times when I've even looked back on my attitude towards certain people in certain circumstances and went, damn, Wes, how insensitive are you being? And I should be the most sensitive person on the planet when it comes to stuff like this. And for whatever reason, you know, sometimes I lose sight of that. So those are good points.
I think it also helps with, like, just, I don't know, like, recognizing and respecting some of the stuff that we struggle with as well. Even if this isn't it, you're like, oh, here's someone actually talking about something that they struggle with, and I guess don't always have the opportunity or the ability to talk up about that. And you say, oh, this is something I wasn't aware of, and it's something that someone else is going through. And then it kind of reflects back. Sometimes you think, actually, yeah, maybe there's some stuff that we or someone else are going through that they don't feel able to talk about. But kind of, I don't know, I guess being more exposed to the fact that there are a complete range, a very diverse range of symptoms, struggles, triggers that do affect people in different ways. And sometimes holidays, whatever they are, can bring that up. And that does help with the discussion of mental health and some of the things that we struggle with.
Yeah, and I think social media has so much to do with helping to raise awareness, as we know, because we all use it. But it's also, I think, social media, of course, can be a double-edged sword around this. Like, I mean, just that it can in so many areas. Obviously, it's a place where there's a lot more things that can trigger you that are right in front of you on your phone 24/7. But there's also a lot of ways that you can feel supported and reach out and support others and share and join, you know, mental health chats and watch videos and feel and find other people who feel the way that you do. So for all the triggers that are out there, depending on what comes across your feed when you're scrolling through it, there's an infinite amount of possibilities and opportunities for you to share an encouraging meme, or you know, send somebody a message on their post, on their page, mm-hmm. when they're struggling about something, and encourage everyone that in the midst of all the commercialized stuff that's going through at the time, there's also the people who are posting up encouraging, supporting, understanding, compassionate types of pictures and posts and memes or whatever that really help people connect in a way that we obviously couldn't connect 15 years ago. And so I think using social media in that way and being able to reach such a vast amount of people all over the world instantly is really helpful, not only in just doing things like the three of us are doing with our podcasts and our blogging and all that stuff, but reaching out to those people who struggle during these holidays, whatever they are, with, you know, that just kind of compassionate, I'm here, I've been there, you know, you're not alone type of stuff, which is like incredibly, incredibly helpful, especially at, you know, getting into October, November, December timeframes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. And you're right. Agreed. I mean, yeah. And I think survivors, whether you're a survivor of addiction or self-harm or trauma or whatever it is, we are some of the most compassionate people and understanding people in the world. But we also have times where we're like, oh, man, I really shouldn't have said that. Or, oh, man, I kind of screwed that up, because we're human, right? Mm, so yep. I think it's important to really understand that, for as understanding and empathetic as we are, and, you know, we want to spread awareness and help people, sometimes we screw up and say the wrong thing, or we post something without thinking, then we're like, ah, oh, crap, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But it happens, right? I mean, yeah. West said, it really is. It's true. I mean, I've done it. I'm like, man, that was really insensitive. Oh, shit. Like, you know, way to go, Matt. But, you know, it happens, because sometimes we are human too, and we have emotions like everybody else.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think it's good to remember that we're not, you know, we're not trying to put ourselves off as experts and never, you know, always being infallible when it comes to things like this. We're just as in need of correction and learning as the next person. It's just, you know, it's a choice you make to either shut out the world or try to understand it better. And, you know, I think that's extremely important, because there's a lot of people that will have a dead set impression of, and I'm a black and white person, but they will have an impression of a person or a situation and say, you know, they'll just pass judgment and not even really realize that they're doing it. And there's not anything malicious about it. It's just not really understanding where the other person's coming from. And I think that's something that we're all working on and trying to get better at. And we invite others to come along on the journey.
Definitely.
Yep. That's what it's all about, is everybody coming together on this journey, inspiring each other, being compassionate, being understanding, that for as much positive work that the three of us do and that so many other people do all over the world, all over the web, you know, dedicating their lives in some way to helping others and raising awareness and doing things. Everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody, you know, even you can be the most knowledgeable person in the world about some particular topic, but eventually you're going to screw up. Something's not going to go right. You're going to say something, and we're human. And you're right, Wes, like we are all, none of us are above, you know, continuing education and being corrected. If we do something that was insensitive, being called out on it, admitting our mistakes and owning up to it. And yeah, I think that's just part of being a human being, along with part of being a survivor of, you know, whatever you're a survivor of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's why I love doing these podcasts with you guys, because we're real. We are three dudes hanging out, sharing whatever the hell's on our mind, and you know, we make no bones about our struggles, and we don't call ourselves experts. We're just real people trying to make a difference in our own lives and in the people who we interact with as best we can.
Well, and what you're saying, Matt, reminds me of a quote that I heard a long time ago, and it applies here very well, is that, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know? So
yeah.
being an expert doesn't mean that you are sensitive. You know, there's a lot of medical doctors out there that would never be that would never win awards for their bedside manner. So, you know, they can have all the knowledge in the world, but actually being able to show compassion is something that at least in my life, I see is a lot more difficult than I would think it is, you know, and I get irritated at people that seem like they can't be compassionate, and I have to stop and realize they just may not be very good at it. It may be uncomfortable for them, and a lot of times people will say something to avoid a pregnant silence, and it will be the wrong thing, and they're not even aware of it. So I try to show a little grace there too, because people aren't trying to be jerks all the time. They just may not know what the right reaction is. In many cases, there's not a right reaction. It's just being able to listen to and understand the other person. A lot of times it's not that we need to have all the answers and we need to let ourselves off the hook if we don't, but being able to listen to the questions is important too.
Oh, it's huge. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day. I listen to a lot of mental health podcasts and that kind of stuff because I enjoy those and I enjoy the learning. And one of the a psychologist that was on there who's dedicated her life to working with trauma survivors, she said that, you know, for so often when she first started her practice and everything, she was trying to apply some kind of technique to her clients, trying to, you know, well, this client's going through this. Well, let's try this technique, or let's read that book, or let's try this exercise. But what it really came down to is that when she did that, more often than not, she lost the connection with her client at the time. You know, there was a distance, the person would start dissociating and zoning out and all kinds of stuff. But when she just introduced simple compassion and empathy and awareness and just sitting there and listening and talking and interacting, that was more helpful, more healing, more engaging with the people she was working with than trying to put into effect the latest technique of, you know, when person A struggles with, you know, the symptom, apply strategy X type of thing.
Right.
And so just compassion and awareness are fundamentally some of the most amazing components of healing and, you know, interaction with people who are safe people. It's really just, you know, you're right. We don't have to have the answers, and nobody has all the answers. We may have a lot of them about something in particular, but what it comes down to is somebody wants to be heard, and they want somebody who's compassionate, safe, and just wants to listen and interact with them in a space where there's no judgment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's something a lot more people want than we realize. I think it's one of those things where, like we've said, you don't need to be an expert, you don't need to have certain qualifications. It's just having the time and the place, which you can do without perfect settings, and just listening a lot of the time. Like, people generally don't expect you to get it, but just being, I don't know, just being able to give them the time to talk about what's going on, or what they're struggling with, or what they're thinking, makes a huge difference. And it's really interesting that kind of you've got that example of someone that is really, really qualified, has that professional setting, and the best thing that they could do essentially was just sit there and listen rather than apply a lot of, I guess, theology to it.
Isn't it strange how that works that way? You know, the simplest solution sometimes is still the best one. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it is. It's so true. I don't know. I guess it's not always that way, but I think for a majority of people, I think especially when we're thinking about like everyday situations where it's maybe someone that hasn't spoken before about the things that they're struggling with, they're not gonna want that big, like, oh, how is your mental health? Just having like time for a one-to-one chat and make a real difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, what's as we close up here today, what's new on your horizons as far as the things that you're working on?
Oh, well, I think there's one of us that should go first because they've got more going on. It's not me.
I was gonna point at that guy too, but
I don't know. Do we make him go last because he's got the best stuff?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do.
All right, Wes, go ahead. You're the leader.
You go first. I have absolutely nothing going on right now. I have notes and scribbles and little stuff that I pull out of my pockets every day, little sticky notes on ideas for podcasts and things that I want to get into. And this job I got myself into, I have absolutely no time or energy to do it. But I'm getting back into it. I'm going to get back on the air, so to speak. But I do follow what you guys are doing. I follow a lot of people on Twitter, Facebook, their different websites, and I try to stay engaged. But we talked a couple of podcasts ago about the exhaustion of social media, and sometimes you just need a break. And I didn't plan for it to happen this way, but this year has just been kind of back up and breathe for me. So yeah, definitely want to start getting into some other stuff as the year closes out. But right now, I'm in kind of a holding pattern. So that was me. Mike, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think for me, the podcast, I had like a little bit of a gap after the summer. But I'm pretty much, I think, now booked in with an episode every week up until the first or second week of January, which is really good. Again, like you, I've had a couple of ideas that I kind of want to float with people, but I've been really fortunate that there have been a lot of people that want to come forward and share their story. So that's kind of got me going up until the new year, which is pretty awesome. With the blog, there's a couple of bits and pieces happening. I really want to... I've got a couple of days off work. Woo! Coming up over the next few weeks. So I'm going to be taking a couple of Fridays off. And I'm hopefully going to be using those to work on an event that I'm looking to put together for next year, which will be the South Coast Mental Health Bloggers Awards. But it's something I've been looking into into it for a few months, probably about half a year now, and it just needs that bit more time than I'm able to give it. I need to actually be able to talk and meet with people during the day, which I can't do when I'm at work. So I'm hoping having a couple of days off will help me kind of organise some of that stuff for next year. So that's kind of where I'm at with stuff. Now over to the big boy.
That's awesome, Mike.
No, yeah, Mike, that's like really cool. Like, I think that's going to be amazing. And I always follow the videos when you post them up in your podcast that I subscribe to on iTunes and whatnot, and you bring on some really like a very diverse amount of guests, so I always find it interesting. You know, sometimes it's talking about mental health, sometimes it's talking about fitness and jogging, sometimes it's about nutrition. I mean, I like your diversity a lot.
I've been really lucky that there have been a few people that are willing to come forward and talk about their mental health experience that aren't like mental health bloggers or podcasters. It's really not the thing that they focus on. So I've been really lucky that those people have been happy to kind of come forward and talk about their experience in what for us has become more of a normal conversation topic. It's very much not for them. So it's been pretty awesome to get those people to come forward as well.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool. I love it. Cool. All right. We're done. See ya.
No.
Now we...
Nah, it's all good.
More over to Matt.
So yeah, it's been like super crazy busy for me. This whole year has just been like a whirlwind. It's been flying by, but, I finished my certification at the end of, I guess it would have been end of September, and passed all my certifications, got all my clinical hours in, got all my practice in, and I'm so excited. I am now officially a certified life coach, which is just amazing. It's something I've been working for a long time. So I have, thank you. I'm really stoked. It's really kind of finding my calling after 40 something years of doing various odd jobs and then spending the next 20 some years in the computer industry of really realizing really what I want to do in life and where my calling is. And so I've got my certification. Everything's officially official. I launched my brand new website called beyondyourpast.com. That is up now. That is the hub of my coaching. You'll find information there about my specialties with trauma recovery coaching and life transition coaching. I'm still doing podcasts and blogging. My blog, survivingmypast.net, that's still there. It's always going to be there. I mean, that's what started it all. That's what got me introduced to you fine gentlemen and so many other people who are just amazing advocates. So that blog is going to transition into more of just a survivor stories type of thing. I say just as, but only like survivor stories. And rather than me posting on there as much. So I'm excited to kind of make it more of a hub where it's all about people coming and sharing their stories as survivors and inspiring others and talking about what they've been through and what they're kind of doing now in their healing and recovery journeys and whatnot. So that's going to keep on continuing, but I'm really focusing a lot also on Beyond Your Past and really beginning to work with some clients and work with those who are in trauma recovery, those who are experiencing major life transitions in family or careers, and really just embracing this brand new start of my life and taking my kind of journey to the next level of helping others and really doing it full time. You know, I have a speaking gig in Florida in February at a trauma survivors conference and some cool stuff coming up. So I'm really just excited about what it is. And I mean, at my heart, I'm always a blogger. I'm always a podcaster. And, you know, I'm really taking this journey of coaching and working with others to a new level. So it's been quite busy. I'm trying to do juggling a lot of things right now. Plus I have my 9-to-5 gig, you know, just like you guys do, and trying to fit everything in. There's just isn't enough hours in the day. And I find myself getting exhausted at like 9 p.m. where usually I was always a night out. Now I'm like, oh my God, 9 o'clock, screw that. I'm going to bed. I'm just completely tired, man. I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. I don't know what it is. So I'm finding sleep is a lot more important than it used to be, you know, for me. But yeah, it's an exciting time, and I'm grateful for the clients that are coming on board, the people who are reaching out. It's really just something incredible that I'm humbled at the connections I've made over the years, and I'm humbled with all the amazing survivors that I interact with on a regular basis and the people who I'll be working with now and in the future to really help them in the ways that I was helped, you know, because it's all about, you know, like we've been saying, nobody has all the answers, but it's about, you know, the compassion, the support, the empathy, and understanding what's coming, why we're feeling this way, and helping, you know, people move forward from the things in life that have plagued them and caused them struggles for so much, and realizing that there is hope and there is freedom from your past and freedom from anxiety and depression and all these things that we struggle with, you know, stuff that I am keenly aware of and you guys are too. And I'm excited for what's happening, and I'm grateful for where this journey has taken me so far and kind of what's happening in the future.
Matt, do you use your main Twitter account for Beyond Your Past, or is that separate?
Well, and I've done a lot of rebranding, and you know, so far, I've rebranded my Facebook over to Beyond Your Past Life Coaching. I've rebranded my Instagram to Beyond Your Past. The Twitter handle right now is still Surviving My Past because I'm having some problems securing the username through Twitter, so it's a bit of a cluster right now. But for right now, I'm still at Surviving My Past, and when that gets changed over, I'll be sure and let everybody know. But yeah, I'm using social media to really just interact and engage with everyone, just like I always have. And, you know, I'm grateful for the people that are, you know, have enjoyed the blog and found it a source of encouragement for so long, and hoping that, you know, they'll continue to be along for this amazing journey now that it's on Beyond Your Past. So yeah, Twitter's always going to be there, and eventually it'll be Beyond Your Past, but for right now it's still Surviving. So it's something about past. I don't really know, but, but yeah, it's all good.
I have got one question I need to ask. So I feel like I remember watching I guess it was a Periscope quite a while ago, where you were having a Surviving Your Past tattoo. So does this mean you're going to be getting a new with the new brand?
He's going to be inked up.
I have a Survivor tattoo. It's on my left calf that I got. What is this, 2017? I guess I would have got this. Maybe I got it the spring of this year. Hell, I don't even know when it was. But yeah, it was earlier this year, I think. And that is a teal ribbon, and it says Survive, Thrive, Conquer on it. So it's not Surviving My Past, but it is Survive, Thrive, Conquer. So I'm not sure if I'll get a a Beyond Your Past tattoo or not. That might be a little self-indulgent. I don't know, but no, I do have the one that I'm actually really proud of. That that's
okay.
A teal survivor tattoo is on my left calf, and I actually
in my mind, I'd branded it in my mind.
I thought about getting Surviving My Past when I went there, and I'm like, nah, maybe I'm just going to stick with my slogan at the time. And so it actually ended up working out, because otherwise, you're right, I'd be in there getting either another one or getting it covered up and rebranded. I don't know.
Yeah, no cover-ups, an extra one.
Yeah. More ink, Matt. Get more ink.
Yeah, that's probably cheaper.
It is definitely, yes. It is.
Well, whether it's tattooed on him or not, Mike, why don't you remind people where they can find you?
Well, it's not tattooed on me yet.
Yes.
But yeah, all of my stuff's over at mikesopenjournal.com. So you can find out about the blog, the podcast. There's a few YouTube links there as well. And also, obviously, I mentioned today the Mental Health Blogging Awards. So there's a page up which gives you a brief bit of information about that. And if you're interested or want to be involved, please do get in contact, because I need lots of help with that. Obviously, the podcast is available through iTunes and Acast, and all previous episodes are available via the website as well. Like the guy said, we're all on Twitter, so you can find me at Mike_Douglas_, or if you don't want all my ramblings and just want information about posts and podcasts, then you go to at open_journal_ as well, I think. And yeah, there's a Facebook page. You can find me on Instagram. All the links are through the website, which is mikesopenjournal.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And part of my job is my heart is about supporting and promoting these guys and many others. You can find me on Twitter at WesA1966. Or the blog is, and my podcasts as well are on, it can be reached through Twitter, or you can find them at audiorising.com. I almost said Surviving My Past. What is wrong with me today? Wow. I'm completely out of it now. But yeah, cross-pollination. We're all about not only living this journey, but also inviting others to come along. We want to hear what you have to say. You can email us, you can tweet us, you can come on and say you want to be on a podcast, and we'll one of us will make it happen, right? You know?
Yeah,
absolutely. We love guests on podcasts.
We do, and that's something I definitely want to get into as we enter 2018. So, all you people out there listening, all three of you, help us out.
Maybe it's four now. I don't really know.
Yeah, you do realize when you say three, there's three of us, right?
Well, I mean, not counting us. I'm sure there's three more. And I didn't want to be arrogant about it, but I'm almost certain there's four.
Cool.
There probably is, at least. I don't know. Hopefully.
Well, I mean, if someone listens and then they tell someone else, does that other person count as a listener?
And so on. Well, guys, this has been episode 7 of the Mental Health Megacast with the three of us. And we're sorry, but you have been listening to all three of us for the past hour. And we thank you so much for taking the time and just getting to know a little bit about us and our particular subject matter. Go back and listen to the rest of them. They're up on my site as well. And I know these guys have a back catalog. Listen to their stuff, even separate from this, because it's good, solid stuff. Guys, anything else?
Yeah, just one more shout out. Definitely subscribe to all of us, because that's where you get all of Mike's amazing podcasts. That's where you find Wes's podcast. That's where you find mine. You know, you can subscribe on, you know, as we said, on Acast and iTunes for Mike. I'm on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and Spreaker and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, just tweet us and interact with us. We love to hear from you guys. If you have a show topic that you want us to discuss, it'll save us from having to decide at the last minute.
Oh yeah, yeah. Suggest so yeah. If you can suggest topics, that would be great. That would really help us out quite a lot. Don't worry about suggesting too many. Like we're more than happy to hold them over.
Yeah, if you've got like 6 or 7, go ahead and throw them out there. It doesn't bother us at all.
Now that'd be great. And I'll throw in the obligatory, we would all like a watch for Christmas. A watch that has a world clock on it.
I'll have an Apple Watch, please.
And if you have no idea why I said that, go back and listen to the other six, and you'll find various references to our inability to tell time.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing that grown men can't tell time.
Well, to be fair, our clocks changed last night. And
ours changed, what is it, in November, I think.
But yeah.
Mine doesn't change at all. So this is why. People,
I don't this understand is why how the clock's changing has somehow made it easier.
Yeah, all of a sudden it became noon for me, and I'm like, I'm good with that. I can deal with that. That's not a problem. Well, peace and long life to you guys, man. We'll get together and do it again here in a few weeks.
Yep. We'll definitely get one more in before Christmas, probably sometime, I'm guessing. Maybe like between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm guessing, right? Something like that?
Yeah, probably. And it'll be more like an annual Christmas podcast where we talk about actual issues. There will be no singing and dancing. There will be no, narrations or anything like that. We're not going to read a Christmas carol for you.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Let's not do that. We have to keep it simple.
I feel a real need to dress up for a podcast.
Well, I do have a Santa outfit. Can I wear that next time?
Know, that's again another subject, another episode.
Let's talk about that next time.
Yes. Or, lovely listeners, if you can come up with something better, please do it in a hurry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, peace. Well, take care, gentlemen.
You too.
Right on, dudes.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. See you, everyone. Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. If you've ever considered working with a certified coach, or if you simply have questions about how working with a coach can benefit you, head over to beyondyourpast.com for more information and get in contact with me for your free introductory session. From overcoming trauma or working through that major life transition, we'll work together to help you move forward from what's holding you back so that you can realize your full potential and discover the authentic you. Remember, you are worth it. Achieving your goals and having the life that you want is something that everyone deserves. So take that first step and contact me today, and let's do this.